If you, the reading tonight is chapter 35 of Isaiah. It's quite a short chapter, and we're going to read, it's only 10 verses long, we're going to read the whole chapter. So if you want to look it up, Isaiah chapter 35, and it's entitled in the ESV, "The Ransomed Shall Return," and it's a great chapter of hope. It's a great chapter of rejoicing. It's a great chapter about what awaits us one day when the Lord finally comes back to reclaim his kingdom. So let's just read through this chapter. Chapter 35. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." And we read this knowing that God will bless this reading of his truth for Christ's sake. Amen. The preceding chapter, chapter 34 of Isaiah, is an entirely different type of chapter. It's a chapter of doom. It's a chapter of judgment. It's a chapter of death. It's not really an encouraging chapter, but when Isaiah moves from 34 to 35, he sees before him this wonderful prophecy of what it'll be like when the ransomed shall return. And every time I read this and I think about this little chapter, to me it's a chapter of rejoicing. It's a tremendous chapter for me anyway, and hopefully for you. It's a chapter of encouragement, because it looks forward to that, the culmination of the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ will come back, when this world won't be destroyed, but it will be reborn. A new heavens and a new earth, the scripture tells us. And Isaiah in his prophecy looks forward to this, and it's a tremendously encouraging chapter. So I want to take a little look at it here for probably about 15 minutes. It won't be very long. So chapter 35, verses 1 and 2, firstly, remind us that everlasting joy is coming. Everlasting joy is coming. Isaiah, in lots of Isaiah's writings, he loves to bring nature to life, to praise God. If you think of Jesus saying that if the people didn't praise him, the rocks would have to praise him. And Isaiah is someone who loves to bring nature to life, to praise God. And he has this vision of the wilderness and the dry land being glad. He has this vision that the desert will rejoice and it will blossom like the crocus. And we had the pleasure a couple of years ago now of going out to the Holy Land, and the wilderness and the deserts were something else. We drove for miles. We left Galilee to drive to Jerusalem, and on the way we passed through all kinds of desert land. Whenever you looked at them, some of it, there wasn't even a scrub, there wasn't a piece of grass, there was absolutely nothing. There was sand, there was stones, there was nothing else. And yet Isaiah sees here that one day this wilderness will spring to life. There'll be crocuses growing. There will be blossoms in it. It will rejoice with joy and with singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. And why will all this be happening? Because nature will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And because of that, because of Christ's coming, because of the glorious coming of Jesus Christ, the land itself will spring alive. That was dead will come back to life again, and they will rejoice in the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's quite an amazing picture, quite an amazing transformation. And verses 3 and 4 is an encouragement for us, because God is coming. Verses 1 and 2 assure us that everlasting joy is coming. 3 and 4 encourage us because God is coming. Verses 3 and 4 says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, which is something I would really look forward to. Say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. We're told that their weaknesses will be done away with. We're told that our anxious hearts will rejoice. And none of us in here haven't had some time of an anxious heart. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and there's something going on with you that you can't share with anybody else. Your heart's heavy, your heart's anxious for many different reasons. But here's the thing, we're told to be strong and we're told to fear not. We're told to be strong and fear not. And why is this? Because God is coming. He's a God of vengeance, it says here, but not a God of vengeance to us, because we're the redeemed of Zion. There's no punishment, there's no vengeance directed against us, but he is a God of vengeance. But he will come and he will save us. And in Jesus Christ, he has already done that. He's come and he has saved us. So when we feel weak, and who of us haven't felt weak at some time, when we're anxious, we should always turn to the Word of God. And here's an encouragement that God will come. We're to be strong. We're to fear not, simply because God is coming and God will save us. And then we move on to verses 5 to 7. And this is the day of the Lord we're looking at here. And Isaiah sees beforehand what's going to happen when the Lord comes back. And if I just slip over here, you don't need to look it up, but if I slip over to Luke chapter 7, I'm going to read you a few verses here. And this is the fulfillment of this prophecy. What it says in Isaiah, Jesus Christ came. The day of the Lord, of course, started when Christ came back the first time as a babe in Bethlehem. That was the start of the day of the Lord. And here's in chapter 7 of Luke, the story is John the Baptist, if you remember, is in prison. He's heavy-hearted, and he sends his disciples to find out if Jesus is the Messiah. And this is how Jesus answered him. And when the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them and said, "Go, tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." This is the outcome of the prophecy. And then if we go back in Isaiah chapter 7 and we hear what Isaiah sees here, "Then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Isn't that amazing? Almost word for word, Jesus Christ fulfilled, of course, all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But when you compare the new and the old, what Isaiah saw was going to happen, the Lord Jesus Christ did all that and did so much more. And he goes on again to talk about the wilderness. "For waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool." I'll take you back again very briefly to 2 years ago when we were in Israel, and the bus at one stage went off the main road and it turned into the Judean wilderness, and it travelled for maybe half a mile or that, and it stopped, and we were literally in the Judean wilderness. And we got out of the bus and it was about 40 degrees and it would totally have cooked you, and there wasn't a blade of grass to be seen. There was no shrubs, no grass. It was quite awe-inspiring. All you could see was hills and mountains of sand and stones. Hard to think anything would ever grow there. But as Isaiah says, when this world we're in will be made new, the burning sand shall become a pool, the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. We saw as we travelled, sorry, I sound as if I'm just going to talk about my holidays tonight, but it fits in so well with us here. As we were travelling down, there was portions of the desert where they had piped water, and you could see the water hydrant, and you could see sprinklers operating, and it was green. So in the middle of everything that was dead, there was oases of trees and flowers and shrubs, all kinds of things were growing, and it was incredible. And to me, as I was just thinking about this passage, it just sums up that not just small portions of the desert will become green, but Isaiah says, in the day of the Lord, it will all be made new. That was dead will be brought back to life again. And amazing picture of what the Lord's going to do in this world that belongs to him whenever he makes it new again. Verses 8 to 10, as we finish up here, we have this wonderful, wonderful highway, a highway of holiness. And it tells us a few things about this highway. Isaiah tells us a few things about this highway. First thing he tells us is, the unclean shall not pass over it. Now, by unclean, he means those who don't belong to Jesus Christ, the unsaved, as we would call them. So that's the first thing he says. This highway of holiness, the unclean, the unsaved, will not be journeying on this highway, because it shall belong to those who walk on the way. That's us sitting here tonight. Tonight, we're on that highway of holiness. We walk the way. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we're walking the way, and we're on tonight a highway of holiness that's leading to heaven and to home. Verse 9 tells us something interesting as well. Isaiah says, "No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it." Isaiah doesn't say there will be no ravenous beasts. We know that the Bible tells that Satan is referred to as a ravenous beast, and Satan's job in life, the light enough, is to pull us down. So there will be ravenous beasts, Isaiah says, but he says they won't get on to the highway of holiness. They may be on the sides, they may be trying to pull us down, but they will not get on to the journey of holiness that we're on. They will not be found there. Verse 9 says, but the redeemed shall walk there. And it's wonderful to think that we're sitting here tonight, we're redeemed. That phrase in itself, that word in itself, is so full of so much to do with Scripture. It comes from the slave market, where you could walk into a slave market and you could set someone free by paying a price. And after the price was paid, the person was made free. And we understand, of course, it refers to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And Jesus Christ paid an enormous price to set us free. But because he has set us free, we are free indeed, and we're free for time and eternity. And as we walk on this highway of holiness, we are the redeemed, and we have that road to ourselves. Verse 10 goes on here. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. What a wonderful thought. We're on a highway of holiness. We're marching to Zion, and we're going to sing that after we finish here. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And while we're going there, we should be rejoicing. Now, we don't always rejoice. And I'm the first to put up my hand and say there's days I don't feel like rejoicing. But if we could only grasp what we have in Christ, if we only could grasp the security of our salvation, and as we're traveling on this road that leads to Zion, we should be rejoicing. We should be happy because we're safe and we're on a journey which Jesus Christ is with us, and Jesus Christ has placed upon this journey. So we go towards Zion and we go rejoicing. And that verse finishes up so wonderfully. And here's the promise. Everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. There's plenty of joy in this world, despite all the things that bother us. Yet, this world can be a very joyful place. But we all would freely admit that the best joy we have in this world is usually a joy that comes and goes again, because that's the nature of the life we live. But here Isaiah assures us, the Word of God assures us that one day we shall have everlasting joy. And that's whenever we finally see our Savior in that beautiful city of God. And he goes on to say that we will obtain gladness and we will obtain joy. Two wonderful things. We get gladness and we get joy. And the very last line assures us of two things that we will get rid of, and that will be sorrow and that will be sighing. Now, I have a confession to make, and you can ask my family on the way out. I'm a man who sighs, and I'm just going to have to admit that. Speak to any of my family, and I get accused regularly of sighing. And if something's going wrong, I sigh, and everybody knows then that I'm annoyed about something. No matter how hard I try, I still sigh. But I have a promise here that one day the Lord's going to take away my sorrow and he's going to take away any reason that I need to sigh about anything. And that's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful promise that one day sorrow and sighing doesn't go away. It actually says here it will flee away. It will flee away. And as we almost finished here, I just want to say two other very short things about this highway of holiness that we're on. It's a journey. It's a path. But to stay on the path, we need to do one very important thing. We need the Word of God. The Word of God directs our feet and lights up our path. We're all guilty of not spending enough time in the Word of God. Every one of us in here, we don't spend long enough in the Word of God. And if we want to enjoy the highway more fully, if we want to be feel that little bit more secure, the more we soak ourselves in the Word of God, the more we'll be sure of the path that we're traveling on. So you're here tonight because you love the Word of God, so it's great. I'm talking to the converted here tonight. But I would encourage you all, as I encourage myself, to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God direct us. And the final point is that we're on the highway of holiness, but the sad thing is many of our friends, many of our loved ones, many of the people we know, they're not on the highway. They're not on the highway because they don't know Christ. And one of our jobs in life is to direct them to the highway, to point them to that highway of holiness. And it's something, again, where none of us are as good at as we should be. So can I encourage you? You're on that highway of holiness. You can never be lost from it. And sometimes we can be happy in our own salvation and we can lose sight of the fact that so many people we love and are fond of are going down that broad road that leads to hell. So can I encourage you to not be that happy in your highway that you're traveling on, that you lose sight and lose the sound of the pitter-patter of all the feet that are going down the broad road that leads to hell and eternal damnation. So I would encourage you to rejoice at where you are tonight. Rejoice that you're marching to Zion. Rejoice that the Savior is there with you and that there's nothing going to take you off that path because the Savior has promised it. Get into the Word of God and know the Word of God as well as you can this side of eternity. And when the opportunity arises, point others to the highway of holiness that we're already on. So let's just have a wee word of prayer and then I'm going to ask a few people to pray. Let's just come to, we're going to sing after I pray. We're going to pray first. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for the assurance of salvation that we have tonight, because our assurance of salvation is not based on any good thing that is in us, but it's based on the work of our beloved Savior. So, Father, he is the one who saved us. He is the one who will keep us on this journey, and he is the one who will eventually lead us home. So we rejoice in that, O Father. Help us to rejoice in our salvation because we are the redeemed. And help us to give you all the glory because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.